First of all, let me express my appreciation for the elders asking me to come and to be a part of this series of studies. I'm always happy to come. I don't know that I've ever visited with this church before. I think this is the first time, though I remember when it used to be South Barfield. And I remember Brother Bailey was one of the ones from Westview that came over and started this work here years ago. And for some reason, I've never been here before, and I'm not sure why. Through the years that that's not been the case, that I hadn't at least visited during a meeting or something. But as I look out over the audience, there's a great number of people that I have known throughout the years. And it's always a joy to get to see people again and to visit with you and to renew our acquaintances. And several that are in the audience today that used to attend the church in Tullahoma when I was there from 2001 to 2013. Diane was telling me that they've only been here for about 8 months. I said, yeah, I know that. And I said, you know how preachers are. We keep up with each other. So, and I knew that. So didn't know the exact date, but I knew when Sean and Diane moved here. But Sean's been a good friend of mine for a good number of years. I met him in 1991. Don't know if he knows that or not, but I do. So when I first moved to Nashville to preach at the Hillview Church, and he was at Millersville at that time. And then he moved off to Memphis, I think, so Bartlett there. So, and I've kept up with him through the years and know his family all through the years, and I appreciate him and his work so well. I know you're very fortunate to have he and Diane here. But we do indeed appreciate the fact that, as I said, that you're here this morning, and I hope that our lessons together will be beneficial. And really, as I was talking with Tracy was telling me that try to tie three lessons together usually on these series. And of course, I chose three lessons from the gospel, and really what it involves is involvement that we have in services to the Lord. And I want us to talk about that this morning. And we'll use a passage that's very familiar, no doubt, to all of us as we look. And at the worship service as well. And then this afternoon, it's actually Christ pleading with us to be involved in his service. And a very touching passage. To me, one of the most touching passages in the entire Bible. But if you have your Bibles, you can simply follow along on the screen. I usually put all the lessons or all the scriptures on the screen. I want you to notice an expression that's used twice in this text. Here's a lawyer that comes to Jesus, and he's really testing him. And he wanted to know what to do that he could have eternal life. He asked him, what's written in the law? What's your understanding of the law? And of course, it was to love the Lord your God and then to love your neighbor as yourself. He understood that. But then wanting to justify himself, he said, well, who is my neighbor? And I suppose that's a good question for all of us to ask ourselves. And certainly then to make application of those principles that are taught there also. But there's an interesting, as he relates this story to them, there's an interesting expression that's used twice in this text. And I'm really afraid that this may well identify us if we're not careful in our relationship with our God. If you would, I want you to read with me Luke 10. Let's read verses 30 through verses 36 as we study. It said, then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Interesting, isn't it? He says, now by chance a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, one who would be hated by the Jews, despised by them, he said, as he journeyed, he came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion, and so he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal and brought him to the inn and took care of him. And on the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he answered and said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Is that what we should do? Go and do likewise? But now look at that. Look at that expression. Do you understand that this would be the religious leaders of that day and time? Here's a Levite and a priest. Instead of stopping and helping this man, they passed by on the other side. They didn't offer any help at all. Would that be true of us? Or would we be willing to get involved in the services on this occasion? Or would we pass by on the other side? I want to suggest some things to you as we study together for a little bit this morning that would imply as we think about that idea of passing by on the other side. I'm going to tell you, if you pass by on the other side, it would be the easier way. Would you agree with that? Is that the easiest way to pass by on the other side? That would be the easiest way, wouldn't it? And really, I think that was the idea maybe of the priest and of the Levite. As we can see. And of course, it is indeed easier. Now, think of the Old Testament example of Jeroboam. And when we think about and make application of this in our lives as well. You know, there was something that was said back in the Old Testament, for instance, in 1 Kings 12. Look at verses 26 through verses 30. It said, and Jeroboam said in his heart, now the kingdom may return to the house of David if these people go up to offer sacrifice in the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. Jerusalem will be a little out of way when you're talking about Bethel and Dan, where he eventually set up altars to worship the false god. He said, if these people go up to offer sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will turn back to the Lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and go back to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Therefore, if the king asked advice, making 2 calves of gold, and said to the people, it is too much for you. Too much for you. Would it have been easier to worship in Bethel and Dan if you were lived in those areas than it would be to travel all the way to the city of Jerusalem? Is that the easiest course? Was that the easiest course for them? That would be the easiest course. And I'm afraid sometimes that we may have that kind of mentality ourselves, that we want the easiest way out, instead of faithfully and lovingly serving our Lord by helping and caring for others. The easy way. Too much for you. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt. What a lie. What a lie. He said, and he set one up in Bethel and the other in Dan. Now this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. Bethel would have been in the southern part of the 10 northern tribes. Dan would have been in the northern part. But he set one up in both extremities of the kingdom so that it would be the easiest place for them to go and to worship their God. That easy mentality. It's very easy for us to have that kind of mentality in our lives and services. But that's not the way the Lord wants us to serve Him, is it? You know, there's always sacrifice that's required of us. And that's true of you and I, just like it was true during New Testament times as well. And there is no easy way when we're talking about serving God. Sometimes it's a way that involves sacrifice, and we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. And we're to use our bodies in services to Him. That's what He expects of us. In Luke 9, in verses 23, then He said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. See, it's not about self, it's about serving God and putting God first and foremost in our lives. And then He said, take up his cross and follow me. One account says, take up his cross and follow him daily. Daily. You know, many people look at this and taking up the cross and talking about crucifying self, And he does talk about denying self in this text. But you know, I don't think that's all that's involved in that when he talks about taking up the cross. And certainly we have to crucify self. We have to put self to death. But there's something else involved in that as well, I think. And that is that we have to endure any shame or reproach or any difficulties. And we have to continually do that day by day as we serve our God. I think all of those things are involved in that when he's telling us to take up his cross. Was there shame and reproach involved in one that would bear the cross and one that would be put to death on the cross? That's exactly what was involved when Jesus died on the cross for us. So passing by on the other side, it may be the easiest way, but that's not the way the Lord expects us to live our lives. In Romans 12, verses 1 that I just mentioned, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. You know, I've read various commentaries through the years, and some say, well, there's really no comparison that he's making here between the dead animal bodies that would offer under the Old Testament and our bodies as a living sacrifice here. But it almost seems to me that there is some contrast that's being drawn. Yes, under the Old Testament law, they offered the animals of various goats and sheep. But in the New Testament of the law of Christ, that which you and I are to offer is our bodies. And we're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. That we're always to put him first in our lives. And it's not the easy way many times, is it? It's the way of sacrifice, of serving the Lord. You know, he tells us the extent of our sacrifice. You know, sometimes we're willing to sacrifice maybe a little, but maybe not as much as we should be willing to sacrifice. And really, I think he tells us the extent of this sacrifice in Luke 14. Look at verses 25, 26, and 27. He said, now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not, look at this now, does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and yes, his own life. Now look at this. He cannot be my disciple. Now, I didn't say that. The Lord said that. And he said, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, we understand the word hate here doesn't mean to have bitterness toward, but it carries with it the ideal and the thought of loving less, of putting something first ahead of those things. Does the Lord come before mother and father? Wife and children, brothers and sisters, the Lord comes first. See, there's the extent of the sacrifice that we have to offer. And it's not always the easy way. Sometimes that's the difficult way. When I was preaching in Nashville, there was a young lady that wanted to obey the gospel. We had studied with her for a good little bit. And her mother and father told her, if you obey the gospel and if you attend that church, said, we will disinherit you. We will not leave you anything. And they were quite wealthy. Very disturbing to her. But you know, I'm thankful that she had faith enough that she was determined that she was going to serve God versus listening to her mother and father. And she did obey the gospel and she was faithful to the day that she died. Did that inheritance mean anything now? That physical inheritance? She wouldn't have had it, would she? But her spiritual inheritance matters. And it's the only thing that matters now because she's off in eternity. But you see, that's the sacrifice sometimes that's required of us, to serve God. When Sylvia and I first obeyed the gospel in 1974... we used to have a relative that would visit us every Sunday between services. And they would come right when it's just right before it was time to leave to go to services on Sunday night. And I'm going to tell you, a young man in the faith and a young lady in the faith at that time, you know, that was somewhat hard and somewhat difficult for us. But I told this individual, I said, we're going to church services and we'd love to have you to go with us. If you don't want to go with us, if you'll stay here, we'll be back in about an hour or so. And we went on. And they understood. Thankful that they did. But you know, some years later, that person obeyed the gospel. You know who that person was? It was my mother. My mother. She came forth and responded to the gospel when I was preaching in a meeting over at Shebbable Mills years ago. I couldn't even baptize her because I was so emotional. But it's not the easy way many times of serving God, is it? Let me suggest something else to you. Really, if you pass by on the other side, it would be the more pleasant place to pass. Wouldn't you agree with that? Oh, they look over and they see this individual, and they see this individual lying over here, and this person is beaten and left for dead. And yet it's a lot easier to walk over here than it is to even walk close to where this person's at and where this person is about to die. It's a lot easier, a lot more pleasant to walk over here. I don't want to get involved. Well, that's what the scripture really teaches, isn't it? Because it says, so he who went to him bandaged his wound, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn, and he took care of him. You see, that wasn't true with the Levite and the priest. It was a lot more pleasant that I didn't have to take care of this man. Here's a man bleeding. Here's a man left for dead. And here's a man that needed to be bandaged. He needed oil and wine poured on his wounds, and so it was a lot more pleasant that I don't have to deal with that. See, that's going by on the other side. You know, really, sin brings pleasure, doesn't it? Isn't that why it's so appealing? It's really why it's appealing, isn't it? It's because of the pleasure that it brings, regardless of what sin it is and what it involves. It brings pleasure, doesn't it? You know, one of the things that we can see in Hebrews 11, verses 24 through 26, talking about Moses, he said, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Sin brings pleasure. But you know, there's something else that's not said in this verse, really, about sin. Does it have consequences as well? Maybe it's implied here in this text, but it has consequences. Yes, it brings pleasure. It's the more pleasant way to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. But notice this, he said, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches, for he looked for his reward. The passing pleasures of sin. See, it passes, doesn't it? But yet the consequences remain. Passing by on the other side may have been the more pleasant way, but there's consequences for choosing that path as well. We must understand that. You know, there's that law of sowing and reaping that we have to understand. Paul, writing to the churches of Galatia, says in Galatians 6, verses 8, 9, and 10, he said, for he who sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. My understanding, that word corruption carries with it the idea of destruction. In other words, if you want to destroy your soul, then all you have to do is to sow to the flesh. It's the more pleasant way. It brings pleasure, but it also brings consequences. And he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. I've always found that kind of an interesting thought. Let us not grow weary while doing good. You know, you can grow weary while doing good. It's pretty easy in life, isn't it? You know, life is hard sometimes. It's difficult. People used to tell me about getting old and how difficult it was to get old. Well, I'm old now. And I'm going to tell you, it's difficult. I worked out in the yard yesterday, and I could barely get into bed last night, much less get out this morning. So, getting old has its difficulties, doesn't it? But we have to realize that if we don't grow weary, in due season we'll reap if we do not lose heart. If we do not become discouraged. You ever been discouraged? Back in the mid-80s, right after I first started preaching, I got so discouraged that I decided I'd quit. Thankful the little lady that's with me this morning, she looked at me and she said, "You can't do that." And she's right, I couldn't do that. But you know, you can get extremely discouraged because of the circumstances that you find yourselves in. Living a sinful life, maybe it's the pleasant way to live, but it has consequences. And I'm going to reap exactly what I sow. But if I remain faithful and loyal, then I'm going to, if I sow to the Spirit, then of the Spirit I'm going to reap everlasting life. And that really is the only thing that's going to matter when life is over. You ever been to a rich man's funeral? You ever been to a poor man's funeral? Have you ever looked where they're planted, both those bodies? What's different about them? Oh, you might say, well, the casket was a little prettier in the rich man's funeral. Well, it maybe so. Same area ground. Same size grave marker, same soil, type soil that goes over each. Body returns to the dust of the earth. Whether you're rich or you're poor, it doesn't matter, does it? What matters is if I have sown to the Spirit. That's the only thing that matters. Therefore, as we have opportunity, did the priest have an opportunity? Did the Levite have an opportunity? But where did they go? They went by on the other side. A little more pleasant then. But then there's the consequences that they had to realize as well. You know, serving the Lord is not always pleasant. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's extremely challenging to serve. To serve God. In John 16, verses 1 and 2, he said, "These things I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogue, and yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he's offering God service." Offering God service. You ever been hated and despised because of the stand that you take on the truth or moral issues? You know, people this day and time think that you hate them because you stand against the immorality that they're participating in. No, it's not that you hate them. You hate the sin, but yet they hate you because of the position that you stand upon when you stand upon the truth. But yet we still have to stand, don't we? But you see, it's not always the pleasant way, is it? But it's the way that he expects us to live our lives. Let me suggest something else to you. To walk by on the other side, that was the least expensive as well. Here's a man that needed oil and wine and needed bandages. Here's a man that pays the innkeeper to take care of him. And he said, if there's any more expense, he said, when I pass this way, he says, I'll pay you. Did oil and wine cost anything? Did bandages cost anything? Did staying at the inn, did it cost anything? Did it involve anything? And it certainly cost him his time, didn't it? But yet the Levite and the priest, it was a lot less expensive because they didn't want to get involved. They see this man over here. Oh, but why? I'll walk over here. I don't have to spend my money to help this fellow. I don't even know this fellow. He's probably not worthy of help anyway. Isn't that the mentality that some people have? Maybe that's the mentality that we have sometimes. But certainly it's the least expensive way, as we can see. So he does bandage his wounds. He does pour on the oil and wine. He does put him on his own animal. He does take him to the inn and drop him off there. And he says, if there's any additional expense, he says, I'll pay you when I come again. But you know, the Levite and the priest, they walked by on the other side. They didn't have to do any of that. And so it was the least expensive way, as we can see. Paul quoting from the Lord in Acts 10. It's interesting that this is the only place, and Paul quotes what Jesus said, and Paul wasn't in the presence of Jesus that I know of, but he quotes what Jesus said, so it shows us the inspiration, how inspired Paul really was. He said, I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, and you yourselves know that with these hands I have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus when he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, when we're young and growing up, maybe we don't understand that principle much. But you know, as I've gotten older and I have 3 grandkids, it's a lot more blessed to give than to receive when you see the joy that it brings on those little faces. Nothing can replace that. Nothing. But that should be true of all of us as Christians. Maybe going by on the other side, yes, it was the least expensive, but that's not the way the Lord wanted us to live our lives, is it? Now that's for sure. I made an illustration here some weeks ago in church in Lewisburg there. And I was thinking about everybody that was sitting in the audience and how much more that every person in the audience had than what Jesus Christ himself had. I ask you the same thing. You have more than the Lord had? Did you have a good breakfast before you came this morning? Did you awake in a nice home, put on nice clothing, drive to the building with a nice car? Do you think Jesus ever had any of those things? But my point was this. And I said, well, maybe the Lord had more than our kids. And I got to thinking, no, our kids have more than our Lord did. They have clothes to wear that parents have bought them. They have food to eat. They have a place to stay. Jesus didn't have any of those things. Look how he's blessed us. And how many things that we do have. You know, if we're not willing to share with others, it shows our lack of love. Actually, that's what the Scripture teaches. In 1 John 3, verses 16, 17, and 18, he said, by this we know love because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. For the brethren. But whoever has this world's good and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You see, there's how we show our love for one another. It's when we're willing to help each other. The end of 2020 I had COVID and spent 10 days in the hospital. Didn't think I was going to make it. I dropped down to the lowest weight I have ever been since I was a kid. I weighed under 170 pounds, 167 to be exact. I hardly had enough energy to stand up, and it took me a while before I could take a step. Now, I've said all that to say this. Heard somebody outside one day. I heard my lawnmower start up. And one of the brethren came to mow my grass. And they mowed it and kept it mowed. The brethren continued their support of me. It was 6 weeks before I could preach. They made sure that we had food. And we were extremely well taken care of. You don't forget things like that. You don't forget the love that other people show. They didn't pass by on the other side. You know, that would have been easy for them to do, but they didn't do that. It may have been less expensive, but it didn't provide anything for us if that would have been the case. But let me suggest something else to you. Really, it's the way of the majority, isn't it? If you think about this, there were three people that came by, right? There was a Levite, there was a priest, and then there was that lowly Samaritan. Let's add a little irony to the story. Let's think about the person that was wounded and left for dead. If he was a Jew, did the Jews hate and despise the Samaritans? Yes. But now who was it that stopped to help? The Samaritan. The Samaritan. But two out of the three passed by on the other side, so that's the majority. And that's true in the world that we live in as well. I think it would be true of the majority of the people that they don't want to get involved. But you know, we're warned. It said, you shall not follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice. You know, the way of the majority is really the ways of the world. And you and I are to be different from the world. We're a different people. We serve a different God. And we have a different standard. And our standard is contained within the pages of God's Word. So we're different, aren't we? In Proverbs 1, verses 15 and 16, he said, my son, do not walk in the ways with them, talking about those who were sinners, if you back up a few verses. He said, keep from their path. He said, for their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed blood. See, that's the way the majority. But we're in the minority, aren't we? Not in the majority. And we live different lives. You know, there's the many versus the few. Jesus talked about that in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. He said, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and look at that, difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Few. We should be among the few. Not the way of the majority. But now let me suggest something else to you. The last two are a little more positive instead of negative. But you know, if I walk by on the other side, it's the least or the less rewarding way. Think about that for just a moment. This is the one that Jesus held up as an example. He said, now, which one of these three was a neighbor to this man that was left beaten? Well, we know it was the Samaritan. He was the one that was really the neighbor. As we noticed a little earlier, it's more blessed to give than to receive, as we Paul quotes from what Jesus said in Acts 20, verses 35 as well. You know, the Lord knows and rewards even the smallest of deeds. In Matthew 10, verses 40 and 42 through 42, he said, "He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of the prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward." Just a cup of cold water in the Lord's name given. How many times have we heard that? There's the basis of it right there in that scripture. See, if I pass by on the other side, it's the least rewarding way, because the Lord has nothing to reward me for, because I've done nothing to receive a reward. You know, through the years, I've held a lot of meetings in lots of areas across this country. I've sat at the table of a lot of people and ate the food of a lot of brothers and sisters in Christ. Delicious. One person really stands out above all of them. Not that I forgot all of them, but one person stands out. There was a little poor lady in a little town called Louisa, Kentucky, over in eastern Kentucky. She asked me, would I come home and eat dinner with her? I said, sure. She said, now, I don't have much. I said, that's fine. But she was willing to share with me what she had. Pinto beans and cornbread and turnip greens. You don't forget that. That's my favorite meal, actually. That's what I grew up on. And on Friday night when I left the meeting, she stuck an envelope in my pocket. She said, now, I don't want you to open that till you get down the road. Curiosity almost killed me, you know. I can't open it, so. I get down the road just a little ways, and I can't help but open that. She has stuck a $10 bill in there, and she says, stop and have dinner on me tonight. You don't forget things like that. Pinto beans and cornbread and turnip greens and 10 bucks. That was quite a sacrifice for her. Just a cup of cold water in the Lord's name given. See, that's the way of reward, serving God. God doesn't forget our efforts. He said, but beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you, yet, yes, things that accompany salvation. Though we speak, he says, in this manner. He said, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Involvement. Involvement. That's the way the Lord wants us to live and lead our life. Be involved. It shows that you have your heart in the right place. Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. He said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Is that what I treasure? Serving God? Providing for those that may be in need? Providing for my brothers and sisters in Christ? That's the way of rewarding. One other point, the lesson will be yours. It's the last Christ-like as well. Think of what Christ would do. Do you think Christ would have walked by on the other side? Or do you think that he would have stopped and aided and assisted that man? Well, I think we know the answer to that, don't we? But the question is where would we be? Would we walk by on the other side, or would we stop and help and provide for others? So which of the three was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? Well, he's the one that showed mercy. You're right. You know, the Jews had a hard problem of knowing who their neighbor was. Do you know who they thought their neighbor was? The only one that they thought that was their neighbor was another Jew. Certainly not a Samaritan. Not a Samaritan. Do we think the only person that is a neighbor to us are people that are born in the United States of America? Or white middle class Americans? Is that what we think? You better rethink that. You better rethink that. It's any person that's in need that we have an opportunity to help and aid. And as we have opportunity and means, we better do it. Those who are truly great in the kingdom, we were talking about this in Bible class the other night. You know, we think about those who are the least and those who are the greatest, and I ask the question, I said, who is it that we think is the least among us? There are various answers. But now, who do we think is the greatest among us? You know, I'm afraid sometimes that we think that the greatest person, maybe it's the preacher, or maybe it's the elders, or maybe it's the deacons. No, it's the person that serves. That's who's greatest. Regardless of who you are, in God's eyes, the person that's involved, the person that serves and serves others. Yet it shall not be among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. That's who's greatest. It's the person that's involved. It's the person that's willing to serve others, as we can see. Certainly in life, we have to make sure that we bear the fruit of the Spirit. Notice that. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Love, kindness, gentleness, meekness, serving others, willing to help others. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Recognize that? What do we call that? The golden rule. That's who's greatest. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Would you be one that passed by on the other side? Don't be that person. Be the person that's involved and is willing to serve the Lord. Thank you for listening. Appreciate it.